often mentioned that I'm a late bloomer. And I've also shared that I met my husband, Craig, at Penn State. We got married after my sophomore year and at the end of Craig's senior year. It had been my great hope to finish college, but babies started to arrive, so I put off returning to school until our two sons were in high school. I enrolled at Barry University in Miami Shores, Florida, and was up to 96 credits. Not enough yet to graduate, but getting closer. But with two boys in college, it seemed prudent for me to be working full time, so my schooling took another back seat. By the time IBM transferred Craig to this area, my dream of returning to school had become just a fleeting thought that I get now and then. I was pushing 50, so thought, oh well, it just isn't meant to be. But after reading an article about Meredith College, flashes of my old dream started gaining my attention again. Could I go back to school at 50? With great determination and encouragement from Craig and our sons, I applied to Meredith College. The students were eons younger than I was, but that didn't seem to bother them or me. And I guess it didn't hurt that my professors and I could relate so well, since we were actually from the same generation. When I finally received the letter from Meredith College a few years later, confirming that I had completed all my classes and was ready to graduate with 147 credits, I actually taped it to the refrigerator door so I could look at it all the time. Yes, I had successfully completed the 36-year plan. I had the choice of graduating that December or waiting until May. No waiting for me. I was so excited to purchase my cap and gown. So on December 16th, 2001, there I was, along with Craig, our two sons, two daughters-in-law, four grandbabies, my sister and her husband, Craig's sister and her husband, and my mother-in-law, all ready for the big day. I practiced moving my tassel from the right to the left. I had long pictured that moment. I bid farewell to the family and walked into the room where all the graduating students were told to assemble. I spotted one of my friends, also excited to be graduating and also about my age, and we gathered together gleefully waiting for our big moment. All of a sudden, one of the college deans came running up to both of us. "No, no," she exclaimed, "you have the wrong colored tassels." "What?" we said. In our excitement, we had failed to notice that she and I wore white tassels and the rest of the students wore black tassels. And there we stood, having our tassels confiscated. I asked if we could still wear the white ones. The dean was horrified at the thought. "We would be so out of place," she assured us. "It just wouldn't look right." And we were told that there were no more black tassels left in the school store. Our expressions must have looked incredulous and disappointed because one of our much younger fellow students, who we both knew, came up to ask what was wrong. She was there acting as a page and was graduating in May. We told her our dilemma, and she said, "Wait, I've got a black tassel for my May graduation. I'll go get it from my dorm room." Time was growing short, but our classmate ran all the way and returned just as the beginning of the alphabet was being called. My friend's name was alphabetically before mine, so she wore the black tassel first. As she walked across the stage when her name was called, then, as if it had been planned ahead of time, she removed the tassel as she walked down the stairs on the opposite side of the stage and handed it to a student sitting in the front row and asked if it could be passed to the other side. And the whole front row of students passed the tassel across the width of the auditorium, and just as my name was being called, the tassel reached me and was affixed to my mortarboard. And I proudly walked across the stage. But when it came time to move our tassels from right to left, neither one of us kept the tassel because we decided it wouldn't be fair to the other. Now, you may be thinking that in the great scheme of things, a missing tassel is not the end of the world, and you'd be right. But for a very late bloomer and her friend, who were blessed with such a lovely joint act of kindness from their fellow classmates, it made our long-awaited graduation day all the more special, albeit tasselless. Jesus explains to his disciples in today's gospel reading that simple acts done with great love will change the world. When he speaks of sharing a cup of cold water, he is speaking of the practicality of living the Christian life. Christianity and our relationship with God are each personal, but not meant to be private. Our life with God is a life that is designed to touch others in practical ways. We never fully know how small acts of kindness will touch and transform a life. Look at all the high school age youth and adults from St. Paul's who have participated over the years in the Appalachian Service Project, which is a construction ministry. Another group is about to set off for Central Appalachia next week, where they hope to transform the lives of the families they are helping by making their homes warmer, safer, and drier. Sharing a cup of cold water. Meals on Wheels, Care and Share, Wake Interfaith Hospitality Network, PLM Families Together, St. Nicholas Day, Armano Day, and so many more ministries are being carried out through the kindness of parishioners of St. Paul's. Sharing a cup of cold water. It is God's desire to use you and me with simple acts done with great love to change our world. We may not always receive such a positive response when we take the risk of reaching out. Yet we may be surprised at how ready many are to receive our most humble efforts. Lest we forget what we have to offer, we have Jesus' promise. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Amen.